the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Fiona, I am not the biker like you. I mean, you look like you are a racer. You have your little sleek helmet. You have a tall, thin bike. I have a big beach cruiser.
Oh, I love that. I love that. But you see, yes, it probably wouldn't go fast enough for me, April.
You know, but I see, you know, you're pretty resilient. You had a tumble and a fall in the palms of your hand were all jacked up.
I did. But actually, that wasn't on my bike. I have to say, that was on my feet.
Oh, my goodness.
I was sort of running my dog when I shouldn't have been running my dog because I was late. And so I was like, oh, let's just trot on a little bit faster. So that one, I see. But I have had quite a few accidents on my bike.
No, bike accidents, they can be unforgiving. But you want to get right back on it. It's something about the breeze that slaps you in the face. It's something about the resilience and the way that your heart races and you can make yourself go faster or slower. There's nothing like a bike. Nothing like a bike.
And that's why you understand why I call it my moving meditation.
Absolutely. But what else is a moving meditation is right there, Brains. She's here from the UK. I love the UK. Yes, I love the Brits. That is Fiona Clark. And we are going to talk about some great stuff. She does some energy work. Her energy work is a little different. You know, there's a lot of people out there doing some stuff. We want to talk about that. We want to talk about she had two major accidents, how she recovered, what she learned from that, how she pivoted, and what she's coaching and teaching people right now. So let's welcome her here on The Edge, Brains, Fiona Clark.
Hi. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
I'm excited to have you here, too. I have a huge UK following, well, all of Europe, really. You know, I'm in 40 countries, and you guys have just been so gracious and loving the conversation, loving the interaction. We are so similar as far as countries and cultures, you know, because we were shipped over here from you guys, but just the learning and the discipline and what's going on in the world and how we're both experiencing and living through this COVID, you know? So tell us a little bit about you and what all this is teaching you.
Well, I think it's teaching me, the first word that came into my head was patience, because I think, you know, we have to be patient right now. And I think what I've noticed is that since we've gone into lockdown, because it really was very sudden, it was for us anyway, I'm not quite sure how it affected you.
Oh my God, it's ongoing for us. I'm suffering with the fatigue. I really am. And I'm a patient person. You know, I love being at the pad. You know, this is cool for me. Being at home, listening to some music, eating, being with Mr. Magnificent and Mama. But now that I don't have the choice, now I'm starting to kind of, you know, and I'm looking at folks with a side eye, you know, they get cough or sneeze. I'm afraid of the common cold now.
Hey, don't let us get onto that because it could, yes.
It could be all day. I know.
Absolutely agree. But the one thing that I really noticed was that this has created such a feeling of unsafetiness. You know, people are feeling very uncertain and unsupported, which has been a really interesting journey for me to watch because I love working with the chakras. And this, of course, is a very much a root chakra issue right now. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it has been an amazing lesson for all of us, no matter what we take away from this. And I think one of the biggest things is to bring us back into this moment. We cannot control anything. And that is true in life anyway, and even more so now. So it's more precious really just to think, what is here right now? What can I be grateful for? What can I be appreciative for in this present moment?
Well, you have a lot to talk about. Tell us a little bit about the accidents that you experienced and what those taught you.
Well, I've had quite a few accidents in my time, a lot of them off my bike.
Resilient.
Almighty. I don't want any more for a long time, preferably. But what really was the pivotal point for me was the accident. I had a car accident. In fact, I had whiplash twice in one accident because I was in the literally the fourth car of five. And then I had another whiplash injury 3 months later. And so this was a massive, big, change. And it makes you realize that our biggest challenges actually create our biggest gifts in the long run. And I had such bad injury in my neck, and I was going to all these doctors and they kept saying to me, yes, you're going to have problems the rest of your life and da-di-da-di-da-di-da. And I was working for British Airways at the time, so I was traveling around a lot. And I remember a friend of mine saying to me, I think we were in Caracas in Venezuela. She said, do you mind if I practice this thing on you? And I said, look, you can do anything you like. So she practiced Touch for Health on me. And I was like, oh my God, what have you done? This is just like, it was almost like I'd walked through these magical gates that have been closed down to me into this world that I didn't know existed of energy, of meridians, of all these things that weren't really talked about very much then. You were really, really very woo-woo. So I went to her practitioner who was teaching her, and she basically fixed my neck. I had two sessions with her, I think, and she fixed my neck. And I was just like, and I had to continue.
Was that something like through chiropractic or?
No. This was kinesiology.
Let me go back. What is kinesiology? Explain that.
Kinesiology is an amazing practice that uses muscle testing. So we literally test the body. It's like tuning into your body's computer. So we find out the core of a problem. We don't go to the symptom and just treat the symptom. We get right down into the core of what it is. And most of our problems, and I know, and I have to say, the most of the accidents I've had on my bike have been when I've been uptight or I'm emotionally a bit stressed and something's happened. And it's like, you know what? You're going to give me something to really think about, you know? So most of our issues come from what's going on up in what I call the committee up here. And this was a real big revelation because she fixed my neck, but I still had to go to the doctors and tell them that I had problems because I was getting the, I wanted the insurance.
Oh my goodness, right?
Yeah, it's like, well, why not? I've come this far. And that took 4 years. It was crazy, but it opened this world. So I started to train as a kinesiologist. And I had no intention of taking any other, you know, as a career as such at the time, because I was still working full time. But I was so fascinated by what we can find out within our body. Mm. And it just took me into this world and I never stopped. So then I trained as a reflexologist and I went on to do different things because I was totally fascinated by how simple our body is and yet there's a lot of simplicity, but we make it very complicated. But, you know, when you can find out from the body itself, you can talk to the body and ask the body what it really wants through muscle testing. God, the world is your oyster. It's magical.
It is. You know, there's so many different healing modalities. Oh, and huge. I find now that people are exploring them, you know, and they're really going within. They're tapping into their heart center. Because they want that emotional intelligence and that relationship capital. That's what people are investing in now. So talk a little bit about the chakras. Now, you probably do this. I do chakra work. I'm dedicated to my meditation. I understand my colors when I see them, when I meditate. They're brilliant. I've seen colors that I've never seen before. But how do crystals work in conjunction with chakra work? Do you use crystals?
I lived in Asia for 10 and a half years. I actually lived in Hong Kong and did two crystal courses there. And I mean, that's why I've got so many crystals, because every time I went for another session, it was like, oh my God, I've got to have this one and this one and this one.
I've got
quite a few, but you know, crystals are just another energy. They're just a different vibration. And as humans, we are energy beings. We're on a different vibrational level, depending on where our emotions are. It depends on where our vibration is. And it's the same with anything that's living. It's the same as crystals. So I don't necessarily use all the crystals all the time, but I will use them I'd sometimes stick them down your bra. I don't know if you do that.
Yeah, close to your heart.
You know, if you want to
don't put your cell phone there though. Let's talk about that for a second. I see so many women that take their cell phone and put it right next to their breast, right next to their heart. That's radiation brains.
Absolutely.
And as the battery gets lower, the heat rises and it causes more radioactivity. Or they'll put it right near their ovaries and they're growing as they're looking cute, running down the thing. We don't want that. We want this kind of energy if we're going to put it near our heart, our breast, or our abdomen. So you have done so many things. Mm-hmm. How do your children respond to the work that you do? Because, you know, children sometimes look at our parents with a side eye. It's like, really, Mom? You know, you're talking about chakras and energy and all that. How come you're not just going into the office?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because actually, I was very paranoid when I brought my boys up. I have two boys, they're 20 months apart, and actually, I've never got on since the youngest one was born. So that was always like a bit like this. But I was a bit, I would say I was extremely obsessive when I brought them up with food. They never had sugar. They actually decided themselves not to drink milk. And because my theory was I would give them the best 5 years, those early years that I could, for their future health. And so when they were very young, if they had anything, I would give them homeopathy. I would do reflexologists because I am a reflexologist as well. Or I would give them flower essences, which I use an awful lot as well. So they grew up knowing all of this. But my eldest, who's now 23, he used to love having his feet done. And I would do them when they were sleeping as babies, because then they weren't wriggling around and I would just gently manipulate their feet and do whatever. But he was extremely sensitive and he would say, oh, Mommy, that my foot's gone really hot here and it's cold there. And he could really feel the energy of them. And then he got to his teens, about 13, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And I used to put crystals under his bed and he used to go hunt them out. And you can take this one and this one.
At that time, they're playing sports and soccer, so you probably don't want to be too close to those feet anyway.
Well, no, exactly. But my younger one, who's 21, he is very much, and I get, you know, and he will do the tapping because he knows it works. Yeah. And he does take the essences. But my eldest, he is still like, nope.
Do you know who Louise, the great Louise Hay?
Oh, yes, of course. Yes.
Let me tell you my reflexology story. Mm. So I go to an event. A highbrow event my company sends me, and there's the guy out there and he's giving reflexology. So I said, oh, you did an amazing job. I feel so relaxed and all that. And he goes, well, you need to do a little deeper work. Why don't you come to my studio? So a studio was at his house. He was a legit guy. I go by his house and I see this woman. She's sitting in there and we're vibing. I mean, we're talking for like about an hour. She's pouring into me like no other. And we're getting reflexology at the same time. I feel like I'm flying. So I go to leave and I said, wow. I said, she was powerful. He goes, that was the great Louise Hay.
No.
I had her all to myself for an hour. And I'll tell you, the reflexology is absolutely amazing. My husband likes that. You know, I'm good with my hands, so I'll give him a massage. But when I touch those feet, because it touches every organ of the body. And I can feel where it's really hard and it's stiff and where it's cramped up, where I could tell that maybe in that part of the body that there's no blood flow or there's no energy, or on the top of the foot when you can't feel the pulse or the swelling of the feet. What made you really kind of make that a primary focus, reflexology? The hands as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It is actually, I had some amazing experiences, but my hands are a bit... because I did so much, but I had a real foot fetish. I would look at anybody who was, you know, if I was in a yoga class thinking, oh God, yeah, she's got those problems and those problems. It's like, oh my God, what's she doing? But I absolutely adored doing, and my youngest client, I remember in the Philippines, I had this little boy who was 17 months old and he wouldn't even let his mother or father touch his feet. He would only let me touch his feet. And I had some amazing results with it, actually, because everything is on your feet. It's like a little history book on your feet or your hands. And absolutely love it. I mean, I know some people are very, very peculiar about their feet, hate having their feet touched, but it's something that I could have done every day.
Well, yeah. You know, a lot of people don't like touch, period, because there's trauma associated with that touch, you know, and so allowing someone in that private domain is very telling, because again, their secrets will come out.
Yeah.
You'll be able to feel them. You know, I was going to be a massage therapist for a while, but it was something about taking on that other person's energy, taking on their sickness. Yes. How do you clear yourself? What is your conduit? What is your process for clearing yourself before you work with each client?
I actually do have my own energetic experience. You know, I zip up central meridian here. I always zip that up. I do some other energy and I just put myself in a bubble if I feel like I'm taking on the energy. But when I did have people to the house, which I haven't really so much here, I would always spray my room with essential oils and flower essences, which I'd make up myself because I just needed to clear the energy of that person, not just for me, but anybody else who went into that room. And, you know, I think a lot of places of counseling places or people that have a lot of discussions going on never get cleared. And you can feel the heaviness of that energy. It does need to be cleared. I will sage my room every now and again. I'll do all sorts of things. But I do have my own little sort of thing that I'll go through. And sometimes you do that more with others than you do with others because, you know, you pick up the different energies from people and some people's energy doesn't feel great at all. And some people's energy just flows with yours beautifully. So I think it really just, you know, when you're sensitive enough, you can really choose and you can tune into it.
But you have to be, you know, mature enough to handle that. Everybody's not able to, not just you as a facilitator, but the person that's receiving it, because you can block your blessing. Brains.
Absolutely.
I tell you all the time, don't block your blessing. You have to be open.
So true.
You know, you gotta be open to it, but you gotta be careful because when you're doing this kind of work, there are other spirits that are not favorable. So I don't want to mislead anyone into thinking that, oh, okay, I'm trusting this person to come into my space, to come into my heart, to align my chakras, because again, you're opening yourself up for vulnerability. And that's the last thing that we want to do right now. So again, protect your space, get to know the person that's working on you and with you. Don't just go to anybody to do some abracadabra.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because if someone's feeling angry, before they see you, or you know, they're doing their feet and you know that they're feeling stressed out, and that energy is going straight into you, and it's just like, oh my god. And I mean, how many, I've done it enough times myself in the past, not realizing, and before I was probably as, you know, as experienced as I am now, but I didn't realize I was taking on other people's energy. We do that if we walk into a room and sometimes it just doesn't feel good. You don't necessarily pick up exactly what it just doesn't feel good. And you take that energy home with you. And then you start to realize, actually, you know, does that energy belong to me or is it somebody else's? Which is a great question to ask.
Right. Yeah. And so what do you do to clear it? Because I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah.
Well, once upon a time, let's see, how can I tell you this without disclosing who some of these people are? There was a situation where a woman went over to another woman's house. And one woman gave the other woman, woman A gave woman B a little vial of oil.
Okay.
Oh, I want you to have the best of luck. I want you to use this essential oil. This is going to change your life, yada, 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 yada. Well, woman A was broke as a joke, living in her car, using woman B's pillowcases to wrap her baby in because she didn't have diapers. So woman B is saying, well, let me put this in the drawer. I don't know if I'm really into this, right? She goes back to the drawer, opens it up, and that liquid had eaten through the plastic vial. There was something in there that was not good. That was not good. So woman B talked to woman C, and she said, take this and put it in a creek under running water, and that will wash away evil spirits.
Wow.
I tell this story because, again, you need to be careful about what you take from people, what you give to people, what you share to people, and how you cleanse yourself.
Yeah,
everyone is so afraid right now. They're trying to do all these different things at the same time, but we're at the perfect pause. What do you tell my brains right now for centering and clearing and progressing? Mm-hmm. What would you tell me?
I have some really very simple techniques, and I'll give you one that's very easy to do, actually. And this is also something that you can do on a daily basis to de-stress, but also boost your immune system. And, you know, because we know if our energy is in that high vibrational state, which, you know, David Hawkins' work, if you know that, 85% of people are living in the low vibrational state. So that's only 15% of people living in this high vibe state. And when you're in that state, you cannot get sick. You cannot, because you're just in that happiness, that joy, whatever. But to keep, we need to keep topping up our energy levels. It's like keep topping up the glass until you feel that you're constantly in that place, which you're not, because we flow, don't we?
Right.
So one of the things that I do with every client that I work with, we always start with grounding. So we literally just imagine you've got roots coming down from the soles of your feet. So the big root coming down from the kidney one point, which is right under the sole of the foot, which is where the minor chakra is. And it's connecting you all the way down into the core of Mother Earth. And then you've got little roots coming off your toes, the balls of your feet. And that really, you can feel the energy of your feet. You can imagine having your feet on a beautiful lawn or a beach or just, you know, some mud if necessary, but so you're really connecting. And then what we do is we just breathe. We breathe in, take some long, deep breaths in, because most people are breathing from upper part of the chest,
right,
which is already in sympathetic state. So you're getting ready to do the fight and flight, or, you know, because the cortisol is already going around the body. As soon as we take those long breaths, and even more importantly, to breathe out, long breath, we're connecting into the parasympathetic state through the vagus nerve. So we're calming the body down. So that's how we start. And then what you can do is just tap under here. This is stomach meridian, and this comes all the way down the front of the body off the middle toe. And this is fantastic again, because stomach, you know, we know the seat of all emotions, da-di-da, but this also grounds you. So we just take long, deep breaths. And then we can do under the collarbones, K27, one of the really most powerful points or the meridians, because when we're tapping this one, taking deep breaths. This is all about anxiety and fear. This is the one that finishes underneath the center of the foot. But also when we bring kidney into balance, we're actually bringing all of the meridians into the energy flowing forwards. And then you can just tap in the middle, your thymus, because when we're stressed, sick, or overwhelmed, or in pain, our immune system goes down. So by doing this, just simple, simple techniques, and you can actually do underneath. So right on the bra strap, this is spleen. So that's the one that's actually really good for your immune system as well. It's good for your metabolism. So by doing those things, you're immediately feeling like, whoa, my energy levels, I can feel my body just starting to buzz. So it's simple, simple, simple. And that you can do that as many times throughout your day as you like. And it can take just a minute.
Yeah, because, you know, it's busting up that energy. And you can feel it. It's like when I have a really good massage, I can taste the toxins releasing on my tongue.
Yeah,
I can feel it. When I have a good massage, my hands get real heavy. I have to shake my hands in the middle, or I have to wiggle my feet, because you feel that release of that energy. Those are some great tips. You are wonderful. And thank you so much for popping in from across the pond to be here with my brains. Please tell them how to get in contact with you, Fiona. They want to do some work. Brains, we're doing this work online.
Yes, please do. I mean, come and join me in my little group, which is the Zenergy Zone. So that's Zenergy, the Zenergy Zone. Or my website is Fiona Clark without an E. So FionaClark.co.uk. Or they can email me on FiClark, so FiClark.com. And I'm on LinkedIn as well, so you can join with me there. I'm on Instagram. I'm the usual networking places, all the different ones, social media.
Everywhere, but what's so and most important is that she is here with us.
Yes.
Brains, okay? Because we are doing it. We're going to survive this, okay? We are going to survive this, and we're going to come out better. We're coming out stronger, wiser. We're going to be tapping. We're going to be healing. We're going to align our chakras, and we're going to be working with great people like Fiona to get better. Thank you so much for being here on The Edge. Brains, Now, you know what you need to do. You need to subscribe to everything. My numbers are going up. I'm so happy. We've got the Edgy Awards that are coming up. I want you to go back and listen to some of your favorite interviews and like, love, or hit wow. I want you to connect with Fiona, and I want you to have a happy, healthy life because we love you. Right, Fiona?
Absolutely.
All right.
Yep.
Bye, sister.
So much. Thank you.
Bye, brains.